Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasul. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alas salah. هيا على الفلاح. هيا على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
Ha? Tişört, rumal. Nerede?
Nerede?
Yeah. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the Darse Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفأنت تسمع الصم أو تهدي العمي ومن كان في ضلال مبين فإما نذهبن بك فإنا منهم منتقمون أو نرينك الذي وعدناهم فإنا عليهم مقتدرون فاستمسك بالذي أوحي إليك إنك على صراط مستقيم وإنه لذكر لك ولقومك وسوف تسألون واسأل من أرسلنا من قبلك من رسلنا أجعلنا من دون الرحمن آلهة يعبدون صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته In the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a mention with regards to that individual who turns a blind eye towards the glorious Quran. So he doesn't either believe in the Quran. If he does believe in the Quran, then he doesn't read the Quran. And if he reads the Quran, then he doesn't make an effort to understand the Quran. And if he understands the Quran, then he doesn't make an effort to practice upon the Quran. So all these individuals can be included in the category of those people who have turned their faces away from the glorious Quran. And when a person does this and he shows no regard for the Quran and the teachings of the Quran, then a time comes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this person's companion a shaitan. And this shaitan then prevents this person from treading the path to paradise. This shaitan becomes this person's companion and he makes it very difficult for this individual to then practice upon the deen. And it reaches a stage where this person then he begins to drown in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then finally closes the doors of hidayah and guidance for him. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then seals such people's hearts. Now hidayah and guidance cannot enter these hearts. وَعَلَىٰ سَمْئِهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals their ears. So no matter how much of the truth is being conveyed to them, these messages of truth do not penetrate these ears. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a veil before their eyes. Now they cannot see the truth. So such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He completely closes the doors of hidayah and guidance for such people. And once this becomes their condition, then no matter how much, whether it be a Nabi, a prophet, whether it be an alim, a scholar, whether it be someone religious, no matter how much this person will try and explain to this individual that this is what is correct and this is what is incorrect, what you are doing is wrong, this person will just go further and further away from the truth. Like Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam said regarding his people, that فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا. The more I call them towards the truth, the more they fled and the further they went. So Nuh alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah Ta'ala. But this was his complaint, that the more I call them towards believing in one Allah, the more they go away from here. The more they flee. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who came into this world to call his people towards believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had a deep concern that why is it that these people, I am trying to invite them towards a way of life which will secure their success in this world also and their success in the hereafter also. But they are just not willing to listen. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had this great concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to this concern in the Quran that فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. That your concern for these people that they are not becoming mu'min and believers is so intense that it's possible that you are going to destroy your own life. It's going to have an effect on you. Your responsibility is not to guide these people or to bring them onto hidayah. Your responsibility is to simply convey the message. And after conveying the message, who treads the straight path and who doesn't tread the straight path, this is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah Ta'ala will guide whomsoever He wishes. So in these next verses of Surah Az-Zukhruf also, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala here is consoling our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is saying to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that these people who you are trying to call towards Islam, towards believing in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, due to their stubbornness, due to their pride and due to their arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now sealed their hearts, their ears and their eyes. So, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afa anta tusmi'u summa? Can you make the deaf hear? In other words, these non-Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now made them deaf from hearing the truth. So with these ears, they can hear fine. But whenever somebody conveys a message of truth to them, this message of truth does not penetrate these ears. أَوْ تَهْدِي الْأُمْيَ. Or can you guide the blind? If a person is blind, then how are you going to guide him to his destination? These people have now become blind. So no matter how much you explain to them, because they have become blind, you will not be able to guide them. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ And those who are in manifest deviation, who are clearly in the wrong. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is consoled in this ayah. And thereafter, because this thought could have entered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mind, that if they are not going to be guided, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has closed the doors of hidayah for them, and they are going to continue causing trouble and inconvenience to myself also and to my companions also, then why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them? And why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down His azab and His punishment? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this also by saying that فَإِمَّا نَذْهَبَنَّ بِكَ فَإِنَّا مِنْهُمْ مُنْتَقِمُونَ If we have to take you away, we shall still take retribution from them. أَوْ نُرِيَنَّكَ الَّذِي وَعَدْنَاهُمْ فَإِنَّا عَلَيْهِمْ مُقْتَدِرُونَ Otherwise, we can show you what punishment we have promised them, for we certainly have control over them. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that one of two things will happen. One is that we can punish the non-Muslims whilst you are still in this world. And the second is that after we take you away from this world, then we will punish these people. And both of these things happened. The Mufassirin mentioned that the greatest example of this is the Battle of Badr. That in the Battle of Badr, which was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted a great defeat upon the non-Muslims. And great leaders, the likes of Abu Jahl, they were destroyed at the hands of such individuals who in the eyes of the non-Muslims held no rank or status whatsoever. So this was a great humiliation for them. And thereafter many other battles took place. So many individuals were destroyed during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken away from this world also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed many of the non-Muslims. So after consoling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that what do you need to do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ That you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't worry about them, rather hold fast to that which is being revealed to you. Hold fast to the revelation. إِنَّكَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ You are definitely upon the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly that you are on the straight path. You are correct. You are on the right path. And what do you need to do? You need to hold fast to the revelation. And there's two types of revelation. Number one is wahiyya matlu, that revelation which is recited, which is the glorious Quran. So the entire Quran from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah Al-Nas, this is one wahi, one revelation. And the second wahi is called wahi ghair matlu, that wahi which is not recited. These are the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, number one are the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So anything which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam uttered during his lifetime, this is now hadith. This is also wahi. Which means Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never uttered anything during his lifetime except that it was governed directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only being With regards to whom we can say, from in our ummah, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the day of Qiyamah, there is only one person. That every statement which he made, it was only made because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to him, and thereafter he made the statement. The difference is that the Quran are the exact words, and the hadith is that Allah ta'ala inspired the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said it in his own words. But he didn't say anything through his own desires. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He never speaks from his own whims and desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. Whatever he says is revelation, which is revealed to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved these statements with a chain which goes all the way back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that there is only one companion who has narrated more ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than myself. Only one companion. And the muhaddithin mention that this was also the humbleness of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Otherwise the reality is that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated the most ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has narrated the most. Even during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some companions came up to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And they said, "Akthar Abu Huraira." Abu Huraira narrates too much ahadith. Whenever we sit down and we talk about something, straight away he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this. Anything we talk about, he has a hadith. So they began to say that even we live in the same time, even we are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surely he can't say that everything that happens, he's seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do it, or he's seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say something regarding it. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion, to prove to them the difference, he said to them that we have just performed the Maghrib Salah. So can you inform me that in the Maghrib Salah, which surahs did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite? So we all know our condition, that if after Salah, if we go out and somebody says that what surahs did the Imam recite, the majority of us will not know. This is why sometimes the Imam makes a mistake and he, instead of two rakats, he ends up performing three rakats. But the majority of the musallis will not even know that he's performed three rakats. Because our mind is somewhere else. During Salah, we've just become autopilot. So the namaz is going on, up and down we go. But even during namaz, majority of us will not know which rakat we are in. And during Salah, we will travel around the entire world. Even that person who can't afford to travel the whole world, if he comes for Salah, he'll be able to travel the whole world in Salah. Because shaitan will take you everywhere. You'll think of all sorts in Salah. One individual, once the Imam, instead of performing four rakats, he performed three rakats Salah. So after namaz, he went up to the Imam and he said that today you've only performed three rakats. So even the Imam was surprised that this person, mashallah, look at his concentration. That he knows that I only performed three rakats today. So he was surprised. So he asked him that, how do you know I've only performed three rakats and not four? So he said, it's because I have four shops. So every day in Isha Salah, I do the accounts of my four shops. And in each rakat, I do the accounts of one shop. Today, I've only finished the accounts of three shops. So this is how he knew that the Imam has only performed three rakats. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, this is why regarding salah, we are supposed to prepare for our salah from the time we are performing our wudu. So when a person sits down to perform wudu, mentally he should now prepare himself that I am now going to go and stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for us, everything's become formalities. Our whole deen has just become a formality. And we are not talking about those people who don't even practice upon deen. That's a completely different topic. Those who are regarded as the religious ones, those who are seen in the masjids. If we also were to ponder over our reality, we'll come to this conclusion that deen is just a formality, no? رہ گئی رسم و ادا روح بلالی نہ رہی فلسفہ رہ گیا تلقین گزالی نہ رہی ودا میں تم ہو نصارہ تو تمدن میں حنود یہ ہے وہ مسلمان جن کے دیکھ کے شرمائے یہود. An Urdu poet, he has said, رہ گئی رسم ادا روح بلالی نہ رہی. The formality of the adhan is still there, that in every masjid you'll still hear the adhan. But that soul with which Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to call out the adhan in Medina Munawwara during the time of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's no longer there. When that adhan used to be called out from the depth of the heart with sincerity, and when that muadhin would say, Hayya ala salah, come to salah, where is that today? Today the muadhin doesn't even know what he is saying. It's just a formality now. Adhan has become a formality. Namaz has become a formality. Our whole deen has become a formality. وَدَعْ مَنْ تُمْ هُوْ نَصَارَىٰ تُتَمَدُّنْ مِنْ هَنُود یہ ہے وہ مسلمان جن کے دیکھ کے شرمائے یہود. So look at the way you dress. Look at the way you do things. You've begun to adopt the ways of the Christians and the Jews and the Hindus. یہ ہے وہ مسلمان جن کے دیکھ کے شرمائے یہود. Even the Jews feel ashamed when they look at these Muslims. That look at these Muslims. What sort of Muslims are these? So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah, so I was saying regarding namaz, that from the time of wudu, a person should mentally prepare himself that I am doing this wudu because after this wudu, I am going to present myself in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Now with what attention will you perform that wudu? And then with what attention will you come to the masjid? And then when a person comes in the masjid, when he will perform his sunnats, whilst performing the sunnats, he is now preparing himself for the farz. So by the time he begins the farz salah, his full attention will now be towards the salah. But our condition is that we are in the last minute. So when we come in the last minute, everything that was happening outside in the world, that's still in our mind. So we've got no time to disattach ourselves from what's happening outside. And by the time we've disattached ourselves, salah is finished. So this is something to think about. The objective of this durus is not that we just go through the tafsir. This is the real objective, that we learn those things and we open our minds and hearts to those things which are necessary, which are important. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they said, Akthara Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira mentions too much ahadith. He said, tell me, we've just performed Maghrib Salah. Which surahs did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite in the first rakat and second rakat? So there was silence. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, this is the difference between me and you. I am also in Medina and you are also in Medina. But everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does or says, I observe it very carefully. This is why I am able to narrate a hadith upon everything which happens. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated the most ahadith. But he would sometimes say out of humbleness that there is one companion who has narrated more hadith than me. Who? Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Why? فَإِنِّي لَا أَكْتُبُ فَإِنَّهُ يَكْتُبُ وَلَا أَكْتُبُ. Because he writes the ahadith and I don't write the hadith. And the reason why Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu didn't need to write hadith is because Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a photographic memory. He gained the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after gaining this dua, whatever he would hear, straight away he would be able to memorize. So there was no need to write. There is a group who deny the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of their arguments is that the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were written many years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the world. During his time, nobody was writing hadith. So there are two answers to this. One answer is that the reason why many Sahaba never wrote hadith is Allah Ta'ala had blessed them with a photographic memory. So if I ask you for your phone number and I have a photographic memory and you tell me your phone number, there is no need for me to write it down because I will listen to it once and straight away it will be preserved in my mind. The older generation will be witness to this. That in their time, people never used to write down phone numbers. Our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, they, from their memory, could tell us the phone numbers of many people. We live in a time where we don't know our own phone number. This is why when someone asks us our number, many people have to look on their phone, that let me first check my own number. So that's why we have to write everything down. Because we've become so reliant upon writing things down. So one answer is that the Sahaba, Allah Ta'ala blessed them with such a memory that there was no need for them to write. And the second answer is that there were companions then that used to also write. Like Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he used to write, I never used to write. The point I was making is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he would utter was wahi and revelation. So when some companions came to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu and they said that you write everything which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says or does, but he is also a human being like us. He also goes through emotions. Sometimes he may be extremely happy, sometimes he might be extremely angry. And when a person is emotional, he sometimes says something which he doesn't mean. So first, check what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's situation is and then write. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that this is what some sahaba are saying regarding me. What should I do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uktub Abdullah. Oh Abdullah, write and write everything. فَإِنِّي لَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقَّ. Because I can only say that which is the haq and the truth. So both types of wahi, Quran and hadith. So anything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is hadith. Anything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, this is also hadith. And number three, if somebody did something in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent, this is also hadith. Because if that was wrong, a prophet cannot remain silent upon an action which is wrong. He would have to speak out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you hold fast to the wahi, that which has been revealed to you, because you are on the straight path. You continue to propagate, you continue to teach, and you continue to practice upon this message of the Quran and the ahadith. And as far as the Quran is concerned, then وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. This Quran is dhikrun. Now the word dhikrun in Arabic has many meanings. One meaning of dhikr is nasiha and advice. And another meaning of dhikrun is remembrance. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. So likewise, one meaning of dhikr is honor. Like in Surah Sad, Allah ta'ala says, Sad wal Qur'ani dhikr. By the qasam of the Qur'an, which is a means of honor and which is full of honor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa innahu ladhikrul laka. This Qur'an is certainly a means of honor for you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for your qawm, for your people. For your qawm, for your people. For your people has two meanings. One meaning is, for your people means the tribe of Quraysh. Because the Quran was revealed, first of all in Arabic, and thereafter from the Arabic language, from the many dialects, it was revealed in the dialect of the Quraysh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this glorious Quran, which is the great, which is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest book to be revealed. From all the languages which we could have chosen, we chose the Arabic language. And from all the different dialects of the Arabic language, we chose the dialect of the Quraysh. So it's a means of honor and pride for the Quraysh tribe. And the majority of the commentators of the Quran mention that it doesn't only refer to Qabila-e Quraysh, rather it refers to this entire ummah, you and I. That Allah Ta'ala is saying to you and I, Allah Ta'ala is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ. This Quran is a means of honor for you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلِقَوْمِكَ, and for your entire ummah. For all the believers, this Quran is a means of honor. And how is the Quran a means of honor? The Quran is a means of honor because if we take the example of this world, that a king, if a king was to directly converse and speak with somebody, then for this person, this will be a means of great honor for him, that the king spoke to me directly. And if the king doesn't speak directly to the person, but he sends somebody with a message, or he sends a letter, even then this will be a means of great honor for him. This person will go around telling everybody that I received a letter from the king today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly through the Quran spoke with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indirectly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken to you and I. And He has sent us this Quran, which is a letter, directly from the King of all kings, which makes it a means of great honor for each and every one of us. So during the 23 years of prophethood, from the age of 40 till the age of 63, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was receiving direct messages from the King of all kings. This was a golden period where there was this direct connection between the Creator and the creation. Whenever something would happen on earth, the message would come directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ayman radiallahu anha, who is one of the wet nurses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those women who fostered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother, Hazrat Amina radiallahu anha. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, for the first 7 days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looked after by Thuwaiba. Suwayba radiallahu anha. She was the slave girl of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, he was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Abu Lahab was informed by Thuwayba that your late brother, Abdullah, his wife has given birth to a baby boy. So he became extremely happy. At that time, he didn't know that this child is going to grow up to be the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala and he's going to call us towards believing in one Allah. So at this moment in time, the only information he was receiving is that my late brother, his wife has given birth to a boy, meaning that I have now become an uncle. So he became extremely happy. And it was the custom of the Arabs that when someone would convey good news to them, they would acknowledge this good news by gifting that person with something. We've changed this tradition also. If I have a child, then I will have to give you mithai. This is our tradition. But it's mustahab and preferable that if I convey the good news, you give me something. And if you convey good news, then I give you something. This is mustahab. So we should keep this in mind. So when Abu Lahab was informed that your sister-in-law has just given birth to a child, Abu Lahab became extremely happy. And because he was informed by Thuwayba, his slave girl, how did he acknowledge this news? He said to her that you are free. He freed her. Later on, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed, وَأَنذِرْ أَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, that first of all, warn your family members. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed Mount Safa. And from Mount Safa, he said to the Quraysh, that if I was to tell you that behind this mountain there's a large army, will you believe me? They all said, we would definitely believe you. You are the truthful, you are the trustworthy. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you believe me in something like this, then let me tell you, I have been sent by Allah Ta'ala as a prophet. So straight away, they all became angry. And Abu Lahab said, Tabban laka ya Muhammad, may you be destroyed, O Muhammad. So upon this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, Tabbat yada abi lahabi watab. That you are saying my Nabi should be destroyed. The Quran is saying that Abu Lahab is going to be destroyed. And he became a staunch enemy of Islam. But the ulama mentioned that because Abu Lahab experienced joy upon the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though it was unintentional, at that time he didn't know he was going to be the Prophet of Allah. But because of this one good act of his, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday. So every Monday, Abu Lahab receives some concession in his punishment in the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels that lighten the punishment of Abu Lahab on a Monday. Why? Because on a Monday, he experienced joy upon the birth of Muhammad. And an Arabic poet says that when this is how Allah ta'ala deals with the enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he lightens his punishment just because he experienced joy upon his birth. This is all he did. After that, his whole life was just enmity. Then imagine that person who studies the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who brings the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into his life. Imagine how Allah ta'ala will deal with him. So Thuwayba, she was one of the women who fostered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two was Halima radiallahu anha, from the Banu Sa'd tribe, who is the most famous. And number three is Qawla bint Munzir, And number four is Umm Ayman. So Umm Ayman, her name was Barakah. Her actual name was Barakah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding her that Ummi ba'da Ummi. That after my real mother, she is my mother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had great reverence and honor and respect for all of these women. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as Umm Ayman radiallahu anha is concerned, she was the one who was the first one to hold Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her hands. She had this privilege. The first human to hold Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his or her hands was Umm Ayman radiallahu anha. And from that time until the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, she was the only one who knew the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his birth all the way till the time of his death. There is nobody else who can say that I know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his birth to his death. Because she was present at the time of his birth also, and she was still alive at the time of his death also. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, they encouraged Umm Ayman radiallahu anha to also get married. So she married a companion by the name of Ubayd ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, and it was as a result of this union that they were blessed with a boy who they named Ayman. So that's why she's known as Umm Ayman. And later on, when Ubayd ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu had passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba that which one of you would like to marry a woman from the women of Jannah? So twice in the time of Umm Ayman radiallahu anha's life, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated that she is from the women of paradise. One was this occasion. So Zayd ibn Harith radiallahu anhu stood up. And Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu said that I will marry her. And it was as a result of this marriage that the great Sahabi Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu was born. So she is Umm Ayman radiallahu anha. Now, Islam teaches us that after our parents pass away, or after our close teachers pass away, those people who they were very close to, we should also keep a connection with them. So our parents' friends, we should keep a connection with them. Our teachers' friends, we should keep a connection with them. So because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his lifetime used to frequently visit Umm Ayman radiallahu anha. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma used to still visit her. So on one occasion, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, they went to visit Umm Ayman radiallahu anha. So as soon as she saw both of them, she began to cry profusely. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu thought that she's probably crying because when she saw us, she remembered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we would normally visit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not in the world. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that, why are you crying? Do you not know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a far better place than he was when he was in this world? They consoled her. So upon this, Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha replied that, I am not crying because of this. The reason I am crying is that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the world, then at that time, we had this direct connection with the Creator, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would directly speak with us. And now He has left this world, we no longer have this direct conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala is saying, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. This Qur'an is a means of honor for you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the King of Kings, He speaks directly to you through this Qur'an. وَلِقَوْمِكَ. And it's a means of honor for your entire ummah. Because this Qur'an has been sent to them. So this Qur'an is a means of great honor. وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ. But when you are given something so great, then definitely you are going to be questioned. On the day of Qiyamah, you are going to be questioned that, did you believe in this Qur'an? If you believe, did you recite the Qur'an? How much Qur'an did you recite? Did you recite the Qur'an with tajweed the way you are supposed to recite it? How much of the Quran did you understand? And from what you understood, how much of the Quran did you practice? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that in this world, if someone sends us a letter, and this letter is written in a foreign language which we do not understand, that until we do not know what is the context of that letter, we will not be able to sit with peace. We will go to one person, another person, we will try to find out that what is written in this letter. And he further says that in this letter, there will be one of two things. It will either be good news or it will be bad news. If it's good news, the good news is also going to be temporary. And if it's bad news, the bad news is also going to be temporary. But even then, we become restless that what is in this letter that has been sent to my house? So he says, in the same way, you have also received a letter, but this letter is not from a human being. This letter is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this letter, there's also good news and there's also bad news. The difference is that this good news is not temporary, it's eternal. And this bad news is also not temporary. The bad news is also eternal. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ Those who bring iman and after bringing iman they do good deeds, they are from the people of Jannah. And they will remain in Jannah forever and ever. And وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ Those who reject, those who disbelieve, they are from the people of Jahannam and they will remain in Jahannam forever and ever. But despite of this, we, years and years of our life goes by, but we do not make an effort to try and understand that what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed inside this Quran. So we need to attach ourselves to the Quran by reading the Quran, understanding the Quran and practicing upon the Quran. Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that how great is this Quran? How great is this Quran that it has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. It's the kalam of Allah. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the greatest of all beings, this Quran is the word of the greatest of all beings. And thereafter when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to send down this Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from all of his angels, he chose Sayyidul Malaika, the leader of all the angels. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, nazala bihi ruhul ameen. And through Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have revealed this Quran upon any of his human beings, upon any of his servants. But ala qalbika, Allah ta'ala chose the heart and the greatest of hearts, the hearts of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of all the anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, the leader of all the human beings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have chosen any month from the 12 months. But Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. Allah ta'ala chose the best of the month of Ramadan. And from the month of Ramadan, from the nights of Ramadan, Allah ta'ala could have chosen any of these nights. But inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. We revealed the Quran in the best of all the nights, Laylatul Qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have revealed this Quran in any of the parts of this earth. But Allah ta'ala chose the best lands, Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have revealed this Quran in any of his languages. But Allah ta'ala chose the Arabic language. Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says that when everything about this Quran is the best, then if a person was to attach himself to the Quran, will he not also become the best? And this is one of the reasons why we as Muslims today are not succeeding, is because we have left the Quran to one side. The Quran is on our shelves. We don't know what guidance is in the Quran. Shaykhul Hind rahmatullahi alayhi, after spending a great amount of time in the prison of Malta, when he was released from the prison of Malta. Then the great, great ulama of his time, they all came to sit with him. He was known as Shaykhul Hind, the Shaykh of the entire Indian subcontinent. So in this gathering were the senior ulama of that time. So Shaykhul Hind rahmatullahi alayhi said to them that during my time in prison, I pondered greatly upon this fact that why is this ummah going downhill? What's the reason of the degeneration of this ummah? Why are we not succeeding as Muslims? So every single alim there, they began to look at Shaykhul Hind, that what is he about to say? You know, such a great alim, they all looked up to him, number one. And number two, he has spent a long time in prison and this is what he has been thinking about. And he is saying that, I have come to this conclusion that there's two things. There's two reasons. Number one, there is no unity in the ummah. There is no unity in the ummah. Unity and brotherhood has become absent. And number two, we have left the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this Quran is a means of great honor for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, and for the entire ummah also. وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ And you're going to be questioned regarding it. You will be questioned that did you fulfill the rights of the Quran or not? Did you read the Quran? Did you understand the Quran? Did you practice upon the Quran? On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is going to question us. And finally, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions, وَاسْأَلْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ That O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inquire from those rusul, from those messengers of ours, whom we have sent before you. أَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ آلِهَةً يُؤْبَدُونَ Have we introduced other deities who can be worshipped besides Rahman? So now Allah Ta'ala ends this ruku with the topic of Tawheed, the topic of the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which the mushrikeen found very difficult to believe in. According to them, there were many gods, there were many idols. So they found it very strange. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا That this Nabi is saying that there's only one Allah, and we believe in so many gods. Inna hadha lashayun ujab. This is something very strange. And they would think to themselves that this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has made up this, that there's only one Allah. There are many gods. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in different ways in the Quran, he proves that there is only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that question those prophets who we sent before you. Because every prophet, when he comes into the world, because one of his fundamental tasks is to embed this in the minds of people that there's only one Allah. Allah Ta'ala sends the prophet with thousands of different proofs. So there were 124,000 Anbiya. Everyone came with thousands of proofs. So imagine how many proofs there will be when they are all collated. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that ask all the previous prophets, even they will all say with all of their proofs. So look how many proofs there are that there is only one Allah. Look how many proofs there are. And thereafter, the point which comes, the question which will arise is that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask, but how is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to ask the previous prophets because they have all passed away? So there are three opinions with regards to what this verse means. The first opinion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tell them to question the priests and the scholars of the previous nations. The Jews, their priests, the Christians, their scholars and their priests, their rabbis. So if these mushrikeen were to go to the priests and the rabbis and ask them also, that how many Allah or how many gods are there, even they will say that only one. And the second meaning is that Allah Ta'ala is saying that tell them to ask their books, their previous books, even though they've been distorted, whether it's the Bible, whether it's the Gospel, the Scriptures, the Psalms, Even after them being distorted, even today, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi in Ma'ariful Quran has mentioned phrases from different Gospels or the Bible and scriptures. That in the books of the Jews, in the books of the Christians, we find such paragraphs in which it's mentioned that there's only one God. And the third meaning of this verse is that we take it on its apparent that Allah Ta'ala is saying to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, question the previous prophets. How is he going to question the previous prophets? So Allah Ta'ala knew that the night of Mi'raj will take place. So in the night of Mi'raj, Allama Qurtubi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that when Jibreel Alayhi Salaam entered into Masjid Al-Aqsa with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the entire gathering of Anbiya Alayhi Salatu Wasallam were present. And in this gathering of stars, the moon emerged. Our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after Jibreel Alayhi Salaam called out the adhan, he said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the thought was crossing everyone's mind, that 124,000, every individual is an imam. But who is going to be the imam of this gathering? So it was our Nabi who was given this honor, that he became the imam of all the imams. And he led the salah. And after leading the 2 rakat salah, there were 7 safs, there were 7 rows. Ibrahim alayhi salam was right behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On his right was Ismail alayhi salam, on his left was Ishaq alayhi salam, and next to Ishaq was Musa alayhi salam. So after leading the 2 rakats, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned round, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam this verse, that wasal man arsalna min qablika min rusulina, that ask the prophets who were sent before you, aja'alna min dunir rahmani alihatan yu'badun, did we make any other deity besides Rahman who should be worshipped? So what happened? According to one opinion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there is no need for me to ask this question, because I have no doubt in this. I know that only one Allah was sent, and I know what their answer is going to be also. So there's no need for me to ask. And according to a second opinion, Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam, he once asked Jibreel alayhi salam, that, oh Jibreel, during the night of Mi'raj, you know, there's a verse in the Quran in which Allah Ta'ala is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam to question the prophets. So did you remind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and did you tell him to ask? So Jibreel alayhi salam said to Mikail alayhi salam that yes, I did tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to question the prophets. And when I told him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's reply was, huwa ashaddu imanan wa a'zamu yaqinan, that these prophets, their iman and their conviction in Allah is so great that there is no need for me to ask this question to them. I know what their answer is going to be. And according to a third opinion, after much persistence, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then did ask the question, and all the anbiya in one voice replied that only one Allah has been worthy of worship throughout the ages. Until today, there is only one Allah who is worthy of worship. So through these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned with regards to the Quran also, and with regards to Tawheed also, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to attach ourselves with the Quran and the teachings of the Quran. May He make us from those who have great love and admiration for the Quran, those who continue to learn the Quran, to study the Quran, to teach the Quran, and to practice upon the Quran, so that we can also become from those individuals who are honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allama. The best amongst you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. There can be no one better than this, because these are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami radiallahu anhu, rahmatullahi alayhi, he continued to teach the Quran for a period of 40 years. So somebody asked him once that for 40 years you've been sitting here teaching Quran, don't you feel like changing your career? Don't you feel like doing something else? Like everybody wants a change of career after every few years. If there is someone who doesn't change career, it's those who teach the Quran. So Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami was asked, 40 years all you've been doing is teaching Quran. Don't you want to do anything else with your life? So Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami said that I am the one who narrates this hadith from Uthman radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. When these are the best of people, why am I going to change my career and do something else? We ask Allah Ta'ala that He also makes us from those who spend their life in learning and teaching Quran. May He make our children also from this group, this elite group of people. And may He make us from those that on the day of Qiyamah, we stand up from those individuals regarding whom the Quran intercedes on their behalf. And we are entered into Jannah due to our love and admiration for the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala salam. Hayya 'ala salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب، ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب، سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب، في جيدها حبل من مسد.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.